May the words from my mouth be just what we need to hear this morning. And may God add his blessing upon the reading of the scripture. Having kids, any of you who have had children or have taken care of children, know it can be a little bit challenging at times, right? Just a little bit. One mom said, cleaning house with kids around is like brushing your teeth with mud. As a parent, I think that's a pretty good way to describe it. Robert Orban is an author who said, who can ever forget Winston Churchill's immortal words? Winston Churchill said, we shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds, we shall fight in the fields and in the streets, we shall fight in the hills. And he said, that sounds a lot like our last two family vacations. A man with four sons was asked, if you had to do it all over again, would you still have kids? He said, yeah, just not these four. And corporate America is always trying to find ways to help us out. Have you ever been driving in the car and used those famous words? I will pull this car over right now if you don't stop misbehaving. Caden, Camry, have you ever heard me say that? When you're misbehaving in the back seat, I will pull this car over. Yeah, I've said that a few times, haven't I? Well, sometimes I noticed that they didn't even hear me, because in the van when we were on vacation, we have these video players, and they had their video discs in there watching a movie, and they had their headphones on. So they didn't even hear a word that I said to them, though they were fighting over the movie and making all kinds of noise. They had those earbuds on. Well, now I've come to find that there's something new out there that Toyota puts in their minivans. I think it's an option, but there's a microphone system where you can even speak into their earbuds or their headphones if you need to. And I think that is awesome. I would love to have that in my car. The idea is you don't have to raise your voice. Just speak and they hear you. Wouldn't that be great, you guys? No. One's laughing, the other one's saying, nope. There's even a pull-down mirror that they make, a convenience mirror, so that you can glance as you're going along and look in the back seat and see what they're up to. I like that idea, too, because I'm wearing out the rearview mirror trying to, you know, get a peek at what's happening back there. Dads don't have eyes in the back of their heads like moms do. But it's nice that the big corporations are trying to help us parents out. Unfortunately, sometimes the high-tech toys are a big part of the problem. So, not the solution. I'm amazed when I go into a restaurant and I see a family gathered around a table, a time when they ought to be talking and enjoying each other's company, like we do when we go out with our church family or with other friends and family. Instead, they're all staring at their screens, including mom and dad sometimes. What is happening? Is technology making it hard for us to communicate? Is it making it hard for us to connect like we used to? Another thing that some of the experts are talking about is overly protective parents. They call them helicopter parents, always hovering over their kids, always trying to solve every problem and watch them closely and make sure that nothing out of the ordinary happens to them. And I understand it's become a really big problem in China, in the particular in the last 5 or 6 years, and even, you know, way prior to COVID. It's gotten so bad there that there's a Chinese university that has set up a dorm for overly protective parents. They had so many nervous parents who were hanging around the university that they converted an old gym into a dorm, a place for them to stay. There's a university rep who said that these parents couldn't seem to accept that their children have left home and gone off to college, and sometimes they will move to the area for a while. though it's away from home, and they'll stay there for months and cook meals and bring food into their kids and clean for them and keep an eye on them. The university decided to do something about this after finding that some of the parents had even arranged to sleep in their kids' dorms. And the university said, no, we're not going to allow that. Instead, they give them a place. They give them a bed, a place to clean up, and a place to eat free of charge. That'd be neat, wouldn't it, Savannah? No. And this was before COVID. In today's gospel lesson, we see that Mary and Joseph were definitely not helicopter parents. Jesus was 12 years old now. He had traveled to Jerusalem with his parents to celebrate the feast of the Passover. And Mary and Joseph were very devout people. They made this trip every year. The Passover festival lasted 8 days, and there was a lot of travel time, a lot of time of walking to get there. Well, on their way home, Mary and Joseph didn't realize that Jesus wasn't with them until they traveled for about a day. I don't know if I've ever told you the story, but it reminds me of something that once happened to me. We had 2 carloads of people. I had a lot of children at that time. I had 7 brothers and sisters and 3 kids of my own. And we were traveling in 2 vehicles. We went to Great America. On the way home, stopped at a Pizza Hut, loaded up both cars. One, thinking that one of my middle son was in the other vehicle, the other thinking he was in the other vehicle, when in reality he was really in the bathroom. And so we all left. I knew he left him there. And we drove several miles before one pulled the other over and said, "Where's Tom? You have him in there?" "No, I thought you had him in there." "The kid's back at Pizza Hut, right?" Well, the story ended well because as soon as he came out, he wandered out into the parking lot, which is really a dangerous thing to have happen in a suburb. But one kind person brought him inside, and they called the police, and the local sheriff called my house, didn't have a cell phone at that time, called my house and left a message like I was going to get home that fast, you know. But we came back, and the feeling as we were driving back to that Pizza Hut, where is he? Is he okay? You know, that there was a great, it was a very difficult thing. We got there, walked in. He's sitting at a table surrounded by all sorts of goodies and treats, and people are all ogling over him and taking care of him. And they look at me like I'm the worst dad in the whole world, you know. And I said, "I'm his dad." And they said, "I need to see ID." And the kid's going, "Dad, Dad." And anyway. Whole thing was a bad experience. Well, Mary and Joseph, it doesn't say how they might have left him behind, but the tradition in those days were to travel in caravans, all to travel together. And it would be easy to think that their son was back either in, you know, one part or another of the caravan with their friends. And each of them might have also thought, like we did, that he was with the other, because the women and small children traveled together and the men traveled separately together. And so Mary and Joseph, not being careless parents, but they realized, and it shows us that they weren't the kind of parents who hovered over him and watched him constantly. Mary was worried, I'll bet, when she noticed and found out that he was not there. For a little while, she might have been frantic, might have thought she lost her son. If you've ever had anything like that happen to you in a store or anywhere else where a child's lost, it's a tense moment for everybody. But keep in mind also that Jesus was 12 years old at the time. 12 years old isn't very old in our society, but back then, when you were 12, you were pretty close to an adult. So they went all the way back to Jerusalem to find their son. And it says that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. He wasn't just in the temple courts, but he was sitting with the teachers. and he was listening, and he was learning, and he was asking questions. The temple courts were used in those days for that purpose, for teaching. And then the scripture tells us that when they heard his answers, they were amazed at his understanding for a 12-year-old. Of course, we know he was no normal 12-year-old, but we also know that he developed. It's very plain in scripture that he wasn't born knowing everything. He grew up just like we grow up. And at that point, at the age of 12, he was very learned and very knowledgeable about many things, especially when it came to religion. When Mary and Joseph saw him, they were astonished, it says. Now, that word astonished translates as they were struck out of their senses. Mary asked, "Son, why would you do this to us? Don't you know we worry about you? Your father and I have been anxious, searching for you." Mom is not happy. That's not good when mom isn't happy. And his answer was, "Why were you looking for me? Should have known where I'd be. I had to be in my father's house, right?" But they didn't get it. They didn't understand it. And it says he went down to Nazareth with them, and he was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Even the scary memories like that stay with you. And when your kids get older, you treasure all of those memories. And then it says Jesus grew in stature and in wisdom and in favor with God and man. Already at 12, Jesus was very aware of his special relationship with God, the Father. Bible scholar William Barclay says this, "See how very gently, but very definitely, Jesus takes the name Father, small f, from Joseph, and he gives it to God. He says, 'Didn't you know I had to be in my father's, capital F, house?'" It sounds like Jesus, at this point in his life, understood his mission. And he probably thought that his parents should have known his mission too. But it says clearly that they didn't quite understand. But notice that he was still, and this is a lesson for all you kids, he was still obedient to Joseph and Mary. He was aware that he was a unique person, a different person, different than everyone else. He was aware that he had a relationship with God that no one else had, but still, he listened to his parents. So kids, listen to your parents. That's what Jesus did. Remember how we talk about when you come up here and sit? How Jesus lived to show us how to live? Well, he listened to his parents. So that means we should do that too. But it's important to notice that even at the age of 12, he was conscious of his relationship, his special relationship with God the Father. Some kids early in life have a good idea what they want to do with their lives. In his autobiography, Steve Jobs wrote about his early fascination with computers, and he said, "I was 13 years old and I already knew what I wanted to do with my life." Some kids just know. Many of us, when we were 12, were like the boy whose teacher asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up, and he said, "Gee, I don't even know what I want to be for Halloween yet." That sounds like me when I was 12. Some young people don't know what they want to be when they graduate or what they want to do when they graduate from college. Some of us go through life wondering if we chose the right career. Some people go from career to career and are never really sure. But Jesus knew. He had already sensed his connection to God before the age of 12. That says something about him, but it also says something about young people. Whenever any young person comes to me and asks me, or through his parents, I often get questions. which I love when that happens, about being baptized or confirmed or just any kind of a question about God, I listen closely because I know that a young person is more open than an adult, and that a young person can be tuned into God much more so than an adult because they don't have all those prejudices and all those negative thoughts about, oh, that can't be, you know. They don't have all that going on in their minds. And so some of us might remember being young, when you were younger, how you had just a whole different outlook on everything, and that included God. And so I love when those questions come. It may be as we grow up, we get so serious that it makes it harder for us to just enjoy the wonder of the world, the presence of God in this world like we once did. Maybe that's part of what Jesus meant when he said that in order to receive the kingdom of God, you have to come like a little child. That's one of the reasons that children are so very important to me, because I have learned so much from them. And you can probably tell because I'm kind of childish, but I have learned that children are teachers if we just pay attention and learn from them what we can learn. I hope that every one of our kids feels that God is present, is with them. I hope that every one of our boys and girls knows that besides their earthly dad or mom or aunt or grandma or whoever it is that might be raising them, that they might be living with, are their earthly parents, but they also have a heavenly parent who, believe it or not, as impossible as it seems, loves them even more than their parents do. And man, we know how much our parents love us, right? And think of how it's even possible, but it's true. God loves us even more. Already at age 12, Jesus knew this. He was conscious of his special relationship with God. I believe that also says something about Jesus. But I also believe it says something about Mary and about Joseph. And now I've talked to the kids and told them to be obedient and to listen. Now, parents, you listen. It's no accident that Mary and Joseph were returning from 8 days in Jerusalem where they were celebrating the Passover. They could have spent that time doing something else. Life was difficult in those days. There wasn't much time for fun. Yet, here they are, devoting a couple of weeks, counting travel time, I'm sure it was at least a couple of weeks, to go and to be there and to be present and meet their religious responsibilities. I bet that made a big impression on Jesus when he was young. I know family time is becoming more and more scarce and more difficult because we lead such busy lives. Everybody's so busy. No time for family, no time for church. We, the church, get put at the bottom of the list too often. Imagine the sacrifices that Mary and Joseph had to make just to get their family and their children to that feast, that festival, that important religious festival. But they did it gladly. That's the kind of people that they were. That must have had an impact on that young man, Jesus. I've always loved the story of the little boy who was asked if he believed in God. And he said, well, of course I believe in God. And then someone said, why do you believe in God? He said, well, after thinking about it for a minute, he said, I guess it just runs in my family. What a wonderful answer. Does it run in our families? What's the real message we give our kids, parents, about priorities, about what's important in life? Does God come first? What's most important? And what is that saying? What's that message we're giving to our kids? I appreciate something that Rose Kennedy once said. She said, whenever I held my newborn babe in my arms, I used to think what I did and what I said to him or her would have an influence, not just on him or her, but on everyone that she or he meets. Not today, not next year only, but for all time and for eternity. What a challenge, she said. What a joy. It is a challenge, and it is a joy. Mary and Joseph were not helicopter parents, but they were attentive to their son and to his needs. And they set a great example for him. They were devout people. They didn't always understand their son, just like parents today don't always understand their kids, and kids don't always understand their parents. And it gets worse as the years go on and as we get into the teens and even much after. I'm sure that sometimes for Mary and Joseph, it was like brushing their teeth with mud. Like the day they realized he wasn't there. He was missing. And they had to go back and find him in Jerusalem. Had to go back to the temple. But Mary and Joseph loved Jesus. And he loved them. And they brought him up to love God. Let's learn from this, parents. No wonder at the age of 12, he was aware that he had a special relationship with God. I hope that our children, because the children are all ours, will be, whatever their age, because of the people that they've been around and the influence of the adults they've been around, that they will know that they have a special relationship with God too. Amen.